Our second reading today comes from Acts 3:1-11. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple court. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him and said, John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. May God add his blessing to this word.
Thank you. Before y'all head back to your seats, we wanted to do something for Laura, who puts so much time into getting all this stuff ready for us and putting up with our mistakes, particularly mine. And we just wanted to thank you with a gift of appreciation for all the work that you do.
Love you, Steve.
God has a sense of humor. When I wanted to do this series on the book of Acts and started when I did, and I thought, you know, Dave, that probably wasn't an opportune time to do it with the Advent season coming up. But, you know, in an ironic kind of way, every week God has kind of placed a text here that I think still fits with the theme of Advent. Last week we talked about the advent of the church, really, at Pentecost. The church really took form and took off from there. And this week, as I was looking at the text, I think, well, isn't this funny? Because in the Acts 3 chapter, that we're dealing with the first part of that chapter right now, I look at this and I say, this really is the advent of healing, as far as it came with the disciples and the apostles. Now, in the Gospels, there is a couple passages there where it talks about the fact that Jesus told them to go and you've got power in my name to do what you need to do, and they did. But this is the first recorded miracle, maybe I should say second, after Pentecost, because Pentecost itself was a miracle, with the outpouring of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit speaking in every language through the Apostle Peter and the others. Here is the advent, I call it this week, the advent of healing in what was going on in this text here in chapter 3 of Acts. So I want to talk about that briefly this morning, and I pray that you receive something good from this morning. I have a question for you and me, and I know it's a question that when we ask the question, the answer to that sometimes is a tough answer. Have you ever felt like you can't offer what someone else really needs? You ever been in a situation where you wanted to offer whatever you could, but you couldn't? You can't offer what they really need. Maybe it's a huge medical bill. Gee, I'd love to pay it off. Or a healing from a broken relationship, and you want to offer the help, but you can't offer really the help that they really need, perhaps. Or help with a terminal condition. What words can you give? What can you do to help someone who has those kinds of needs? Or maybe encouragement with a chronic problem that won't go away. Or that healing agent for a grieving friend. We look at all these things and we find ourselves saying, I can't quite offer what that someone needs. And here in the text this morning, I think it's important for us to kind of walk through this and see something that I hope is a little bit eye-opening, perhaps. And that is, we start out with this text. And here is Peter and John heading to the temple to go pray. They're a good place. If they're heading to the temple to pray, they've got their mind where it needs to be. And as they're going to the temple to pray, something happens. They meet up with this cripple on the side of the road. And when they met with this cripple, what do you think the cripple wanted? When you look at the text, it was money. Now think about that, though, for a moment. He was crippled from birth. Surely this cripple wasn't asking for healing because this is all he's ever known. You know, there are others that Jesus came upon. In fact, you can remember the one that was healed by the pool of Bethesda. It doesn't say that he was crippled from birth. It says 38 years he struggled with this. I assume maybe he wasn't born with it. But he struggled with it. He came every day. What did he want? He wanted healing. He wanted to get into that pool, and if the pool would stir, you know, as the story goes, people thought it had healing powers and he would be healed. And he never got in there before the others did. Others got there before he did, and Jesus took care of that one. But in this case here was a cripple who what he wanted was money. Money to take care of his need. As he had to be a beggar because apparently couldn't hold a job. And he needed to eat. And what he wanted was money. And those who helped him every day, because he was brought to those temple courts every day by others, because that's what the text says this morning, every day they would bring him to the temple courts so that he could get money. He could get the help that he needed. No, I was thinking when I read this the first time, I thought, well, he wanted to go there because he really wanted to be healed. But no, he wanted to go there because he needed money. Healing of his body was probably something he thought just wasn't ever going to happen because he was born with his ailment. But when the disciples came by and he talked to them, he was asking, oh, you're so kind. Thank you. But like I say, you give me water, then I keep on going. No. The disciples come by. And they looked at him and said, you know what? Silver and gold I don't have. We don't have that. They weren't loaded with money. Perhaps they didn't come with any at that point in time. Maybe they didn't even know what they were going to come across when they got to the temple that day. But they said, we don't have what you think you need, but we do have what you really need. And I want you to know something in the text this morning. It seems that you think the need is, I know you need healed. But he needed Jesus to be healed. He needed Jesus. And they said, we tell you something here in the text in verse 6. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Wasn't just the physical healing going on here. What he needed was Jesus. And we know that he needed Jesus because after he was healed, we see what happened afterwards. He went with the apostles. He went with those disciples to the temple courts. And what did he do when he got there? Jumping and praising God. I'm not sure that he was jumping and praising God just because of the physical healing, although that had to have been awesome and marvelous. But he was jumping and praising God because he received ultimately what he never really asked for previous. What's our expectation? But let me go back just a moment. This in the name of Jesus thing, I want to come to that again because, you know, oftentimes we hear people talk about in the name of Jesus. And what do we mean when we say in the name of Jesus? It's not just speak his name, and that's it. If we say something in the name of Jesus, if we want to proclaim something in the name of Jesus, what are we actually saying? We are actually saying, whatever it is that's coming out of my mouth, I want it to be in accordance with the will of the one's name I mention, and for his glory, and in his power. That's what I really mean when I say, in Jesus' name. I'm not just saying a name. I'm saying whatever it is that I want to have happen, I want to have happen in accordance with your will and by your power and for your glory is what I ultimately want. That's what Peter and John said. And God wanted to not only bring salvation to this cripple, but he also brought physical healing. So what is our expectation in whatever situations we find ourselves in? And some of you find yourselves in situations right now as we speak. Is it healing? Is it relief? Is it answers? What do we really need? I would say, first and foremost what we really need. The absolute primary thing we need is a closer walk with God first and foremost. To get through whatever it is that we are asking about. You know, in the medical field, what do they oftentimes do when you and I have a problem? They offer us something to take care of our symptoms. A medication, a prescription. Be it pain, take a prescription. Be it, in my case, if you've got acid reflux, I take Prilosec. It's not because you guys give me any indigestion. It's what I eat. I'm blessed to have you all, so please don't go out there and say, you know what, we give our pastor indigestion. But you oftentimes prescribe something, and what does that do? That only deals with the symptoms. It doesn't deal with the real issue that's underneath it. Sometimes I think our pharmaceutical companies don't have it right. They're out there spending a whole lot of time trying to come up with drugs that will take care of symptoms. What we really need is a cure. What we really need is a cure. And yet we're oftentimes not asking for that. We want the pain to go away. We want other things to happen. We want answers and we want relief and all those sort of things. And it's maybe something like that drug that we want to take so it's not going to happen anymore. But what Jesus is really saying to us, like Peter and John were saying to this cripple, is what you need first and foremost is a closer walk with God first. Or just a relationship to begin with, because perhaps you don't have one. Healing of whatever else is besetting us is a bonus. I want to tell you something this morning that I believe 100% of the time. Healing is guaranteed for the believer, but let me define that for you. Healing is guaranteed for the believer. Some of you say, whoa, what you talking about here? Whether in this life or eternity. Healing is guaranteed for the believer. It doesn't always happen in this life, but it will happen in the next life. And so I can say to you with 110% confidence that for the believer in Jesus Christ, healing is guaranteed. Hallelujah, huh? Hallelujah. Get back to the cripple in the story. What was his response to Jesus and healing? He got up and he went and he praised him in the temple. He didn't ask for healing. He got more. He got Jesus. Remember the 10 lepers story in the Gospels? Where Jesus healed all 10 lepers. He said, go to the temple. On your way to the temple, you're going to be healed. And they all, on their way to the temple, they were healed. But only one of them came back. Only one of them came back to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This text is a hard one because of the fact that when we look at the text, the ending of the text is the way we would always like to have the ending for us when we need healing, right? We look and say, well, Peter and John came by and they told the guy to get up in the name of Jesus and be healed. And in the name of Jesus, he got up and he was healed. And yet we live in the world today where we understand that doesn't always happen that way. What we ask for isn't always what Jesus gives, because sometimes what we ask for is not really what is absolutely best for us. He gives us what we really need for the time that we are living. I want to encourage you with this morning as I close. Faith plays an important role in all of this. I believe faith is the bridge to what God is ultimately going to do. It's the bridge that keeps us going until God does what He wants to do. And I believe He does want to bring healing to us. But faith is that bridge to get us there. healing will come, even though it might look different than what we anticipate. I'm reminded of Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, he received a healing of his soul, even though he lived with a thorn in his flesh. I think the lesson for us here this morning in chapter 3, in the advent of healing, is to learn to trust in the healer, not the healing. Trust in the healer, and he will heal. It may not always happen in the time frame we want or in the way in which we want it to happen, but we need to trust in the healer and not the healing. He says elsewhere in Scripture, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, go. The object of our faith is the important thing, folks. And the object of our faith is unlimited in what He can do. It's God. We limit Him. I limit Him in my own faith. I many times pray, and I'm limiting God in my prayer. I'm even limiting God. And God is unlimited in what He can do. So what I do then is, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, in accordance with His will, and for His glory, and by His power, that You would do what You say You're going to do. And then I'm going to trust in the healer, not in the healing. Healing will come. Know that, as I told you before, healing will come. You and I wish we knew when. Healing will come. Trust Him with it. Trust Him. Let's pray. God, help us to learn more and more in our lives to pray in Your name. Not to pray with our own understanding, not to pray with what we perceive as our needs, but to pray in Your name. Help us to understand what it means to do that, to pray in accordance with Your will, to be satisfied, to be placed in that place in relationship with You, that we want to pray in accordance with Your will and for Your glory and in Your power. Because whatever happens in our life, Lord, we pray, it's for Your glory. So God, encourage us today with that. And encourage us with this thought. Healing will come for believers. That's a promise. The when is the only thing we don't know. But help us to put that in Your hands. And we give You thanks and praise in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. As we close this morning, I'd like us to turn to hymn number 120 or up on the screen as we sing together, The Advent of Our God. Would you stand with me as we sing this morning?